Okay. So welcome back to everybody. I hope Pesach was nice. It's good to see everybody again. So before Pesach, we basically finished the Malacha of Kosev. We're basically up to the Malacha of Mochek. Mochek is a Mirtz Hashem, it's 1 to 2 weeks. And we're going to be starting that next week. Next week, we're going to start the official Malacha of Mochek. One second. Yeah, so next week we're going to start the official Malacha of Mochek, and we will, that'll take a week or two, then we'll be up to our next parak, which will be parak Ha'orig. But tonight, so we're going to do a one-week topic, going to be a transition between Kosev and Mochek. So that actually under Malacha of Kosev, but we're going to see that it's going to transition from Malacha over tonight. Is there a noise in the background? Okay, fine. Thank you. Okay, so tonight's sugya comes up in a Gemara at the end of Perek Abona on Kuf Dalet Amabez. That's the Gemara we're going to be working off of. Kuf Dalet Amabez. The Gemara on Kuf Dalet Amabez brings a brisa which says as follows. The brisa says that if a person edits a single letter on Shabbos, so that's going to violate the malacha of Kosev. Higia os achas. If you edit a single letter on Shabbos, so that's going to violate Malachas Kosev. The Gemara asks the question, now wait a second. You know that the rule is, to violate Malachas Kosev, you have to write a minimum of two letters. The shear for Malachas Kosev is Shtei Osios. So how can editing a single letter violate Kosev when you need to produce at least two letters to be chayiv, to have a full-fledged chayiv for Kosev? That's the kasha the Gemara asks on this brisa. So the Gemara presents two solutions to this question. First answer of the Gemara is that we can understand this brisa talking in terms of the letter ches. If you picture the letter ches, so you have two legs and you have a bridge on top. That's the os ches. Now, in ksav, in the original ksav of the Sefer Torah, if you open up a Sefer Torah, you'll see that the two legs of the ches are actually drawn in the shape of a zion. A ches is made of two legs that are in the shape of a zion, and a bridge on top which connects the two zions. That's the real composition of a ches. So the Gemara says that we can have a single act of editing that produces two letters in terms of the letter ches. If you have a ches and you remove the roof of the ches, you can transform the ches into two zions. Hitil gago shel ches. If you remove the roof of the ches, you can transform the ches into two zions, and you can have a single act of editing that produces two letters. So that's the Gemara's first solution, how you can have one act of editing that's be chayiv from Malachas Kosev on account of producing two letters. Then the Gemara gives a second answer. Let me just finish the Shaka Vatari, then I'll take the question. Then the Gemara gives a second answer, which is actually incomplete. So I'm just going to spell out the words of the Gemara, and we're not going to get into the details of how to finish it off. The Rishonim have to step in to finish off the second answer. But just to speak out the words of the Gemara's second solution is in terms of the letter Dalet. Gemara says, if you picture a dalet, so we know it goes up and it goes across, a dalet goes up and it goes left. And the Gemara says that if you remove some of the ink at the upper right portion of the dalet, which the Gemara calls a tag, if you remove this ink at the upper right portion of the dalet, you can transform the dalet into a resh. So says the Gemara, this will be another act of editing that will be chayiv on Shabbos. If you remove this tag at the upper right portion of the dalet and convert the dalet into a resh, so this will be another example where you're going to be chayiv on Shabbos. Now, Dov, I'm going to assume that I'm a Navi to predict Dov's question. And the reason that this answer is incomplete is because it doesn't seem to answer the question. The question was that you need to produce two letters to be chayiv from Malacha Shabbos. And so the big question on the second answer of the Gemara, thank you, Dov, is smiling and nodding, so I know that I'm correct. And the second answer of the Gemara doesn't seem to be satisfactory. It's very nice that you can convert a dalet into a resh, but you're not producing two letters. You're doing an act of editing. You're converting the dalet into a resh. One second, Daniel. But you're only producing a single letter. So that does not seem to be a satisfactory solution. So the Rishonim need to step in to figure out how to finish off the second answer of the Gemara, which we're not going to get into. It's not necessary for our purposes. But be that as it may, that's the Gemara's second answer. So just to summarize before we stop for questions, we finished the Shaka Vatarya on Kuf Dalet Amabez. We're at the very end now of Perek Abona. Gemara has taught us this halacha. If you do a single act of editing you can be chayiv from Melechus Kosev on Shabbos. The question became, where are the two letters? There's a minimum shear of Shtei Osios. You're only producing one letter Lechora. So the two solutions. The first answer of the Gemara is in terms of the letter Ches. If you remove the bridge at the top of the Ches, you can convert a Ches into two Zions. That was the first answer of the Gemara. So it's one act of editing that produces two letters. And the second answer of the Gemara, which was unsatisfactory, but the words of the Gemara were, in terms of the letter Dalet, if you remove the tag, the extra ink at the upper right portion of the Dalet, you can convert it into a Resh. And we have an act of editing that somehow is Chayiv. The second answer wasn't fully sufficient, but those are the words of the Gemara. So let's just stop for a second, take questions. Daniel, let me put my volume on higher. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I just about the context here. Are we assuming that the letter that's being edited is a single letter on a page, or is it part of a slew of letters? Which would then, by then mean, if you edit one letter that's part of another word, then in theory, you're still creating some information is coming out, right?
Because Daniel, just to repeat the question, Daniel is asking, what's the exact context of this letter ches? Is it in the middle of a word? Is it standing by itself? What's the exact case? So the truth of the matter is, the Gemara doesn't specify. But the Rishonim actually are a little bit bothered by Daniel's question. They try to use your question to answer up Dov's question on the second answer of the Gemara. But for our purposes, it's not, for our purposes in our sugya, it's not really going to be so important. So it's a very good ha'ara. But for our purposes, I mean, they want to take your question to try to help out with the Reish issue by if you put the Reish into a certain
right, path. Right. No, for the second answer, it would exactly. It could answer the question, right?
That's the simplest answer. Beautiful, beautiful. What he's pointing out is that if we, in the second answer to the Gemara, I'm trying not to spend too much time on this, but in the second answer to the Gemara, if they don't make it an independent Ches, an independent Dalet, but we put the Dalet in the context of maybe a Sefer or some other context with more letters, and you change it to a Reish, maybe that can help us get a more significant act of creating a letter, which will be sufficient. So that is the exact what they're showing. Yeah, so I don't want to overdo it, but that's a very good analysis. That's what they're showing the path that they're headed in. Fine. Okay.
Thank you.
But that's the Shaka Vatarya of this Gemara. Now, come along the Rishonim, and there is a question on this Gemara, which is considered to be a famous question. I always say the definition of a famous question is an issue that comes up in the first few blot of Yeshiva Shemesachta. So this question comes up in the second parak of Gittin, but it's in the blot that are covered in the Yeshiva cycles. So that's why it's considered to be a famous question. It's a question from Gemara in Gittin on Daf Chaf Amid Aleph. So let's move over to the Gemara in Gittin on Chaf Amid Aleph, and we'll see the kasha that the Rishonim were troubled by in our Gemara from that sugya there. The Gemara in Gittin on Chaf Amid Aleph is discussing the halacha of Shtar Shechrer and a get. The halacha is that these halachic documents are only valid if they're written through a legal process of ksiva. You need a legal process of writing in order to produce these documents. If somehow you're able to spill some ink onto a piece of paper and it just so happens that it forms all the letters or the ink spills by itself and you have all the words that you need, not going to be effective. There's a rule that when it comes to these documents, there's a need for a maisik siva. You don't have a legal form of writing, so it's not going to be effective. That's the basic principle in the Gemara there in Gittin. Now, with that background, the Gemara there states the following din. It brings a brisa that tells us that if you want to write a shtar shechor through chakika, if you want to engrave the words of a shtar shechor, let's say you take a plate of metal, and you engrave the words of the shtar onto this plate of metal, that is going to be ineffective. There's a special gzeiras hakasa v'kasa, you have to write it below chaka. You cannot engrave the letters of these documents, that's not called the legal act of writing. That's the basic halacha in the Gemara there. Then the Gemara says, are you telling me that chakika, that engraving, is not a legal form of writing? It's not a way of writing one of these documents. But there's another brisa that says that chakika does work. There's another brisa that says that chakika is an effective way of writing a document. So we now have a stira in different brisas. Is chakika, if you engrave the words of these shtaros or shtar shechrer again onto a plate of metal, so would that be an effective way of writing? So the question is, what's the resolution? So the Gemara gives the following solution. The Gemara says that we can answer this question based on distinguishing between how exactly you engrave the words of these documents. On the one hand, if you engrave it through what's called chakirechos, chakirechos is where you push down on the letters themselves in order to create the letters. I push down the aleph, I push down the bays, I create the pressed letters in the metal where you're operating on the letter itself. That is a perfectly fine way of writing. Chak yurechos, pushing down on the erech, on the body of the letter itself, is a perfectly fine way of engraving. On the other hand, says the Gemara, if instead of pushing down on the letters themselves, what if you create the words in the following manner through what's called chak tochos? Chak tochos is where you don't press down the letter itself, you press down the background of the letter. I press down inside the letter and around the letter such that the whole background is depressed and the letter now appears in relief as a protruding letter. Since you push down on the inside of the aleph and the outside, let's say, so it now appears like there's a protruding aleph. So you're creating it through indirection. That's called chaktochos. Says the Gemara, chaktochos is ineffective. If you create the letters of the document through chaktochos, where you're not operating on the letter itself, you're operating around the letter. I push inside, I push outside. The whole background is now depressed. It's not a, I guess it should see a psychologist, but the background is now depressed and the letters are protruding outwards. So that is an ineffective form of writing. So that's the basic Gemara here. In Gittin on Chav Amad Aleph, it was on the Mar Mukomas once before. Dov is asking, do we do this already? So this piece of Gemara was on the Mar Mukomas once before, but now I'm emphasizing a different part of this piece of Gemara. So that's the Gemara in Gittin on Chav Amad Aleph, teaching us this distinction as to when engraving is a valid form of writing. On the one hand, if you engrave through Chak Yerechus, where you operate on the letter itself, I push down the letter itself, that will be effective. On the other hand, if you engrave through Chak Tochos, where you're not pushing down on the letter itself, what you're doing is you're pushing down around the letter and inside the letter, such that the letter appears as if it's protruding in relief. Since you're not operating on the letter itself, that is going to be an invalid way of writing. That's not a legal form of writing. So that's the Gemara in Gittin. So just stop for a second to take questions before we plug it back in. Yonah.
What would be this? What if you sort of embossed the letter, like sort of like engraving? You do, let's say you make a backwards base. Engrave that, and then the other side.
Okay, so Yonah is asking, what if I push through on one side and it comes out on the other side? And that is actually a famous question that comes up in that very Gemara in Gittin. The continuation of that Gemara asks this question, as Yonah is mechavin, so what if you come up with a scenario where you push from behind and it protrudes outwards? So it's a very good question, but we're not going to get into that. Okay, now based on this Gemara in Gittin, so the Rishonim were now troubled by our Gemara. Because what comes out of this Gemara in Gittin? We're seeing a new regulation, a new rule for how you need to do a legal act of writing, which is that chak tochos is possible. If you write and you don't directly operate on the letter itself, you operate around the letter and cause the appearance of a letter through operating externally, that is not an effective form of writing in halakha. That's the basic principle we see from this Gemara in Gittin. And so based on this Gemara, Rishonim were now troubled by our sugya. Let's come back to our Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Daled Amud Beis. What did the Gemara tell us? That if you edit a letter by removing some of the ink and you transform it into a different letter, so that is going to be Chayav on Shabbos. You're going to violate the Malacha of Kosei. We'll talk in terms of the first case, let's say. You have a Ches, you remove the roof of the Ches, and you transform it into two Zions, because again, the two legs of the Ches are shaped like Zions. You remove the gag of the Ches and you transform it into two Zions. That is an act of Ksiva that is Chayav on Shabbos. Ask the Rishonim, but wait a second. In this situation, you're not operating on the letter itself. I'm not writing the Zion itself. I'm operating externally to the Zions. There's some extra ink around the Zions that I'm erasing to cause the appearance of Zions. So this L'chor should be an example of Chak Tochos. I'm writing not by operating on the letter itself. I'm operating external to the letter, and I'm thereby causing the letter to appear as a crisp letter, as an extent, you know, as a byproduct of my act of erasing the extra ink on top. That should be called the writing through Chak Tochos, which should not be deemed a legal act of writing. So that's the big kasha that the Rishonim raise on our Gemara, based on that Gemara in Gittin on Chav Amud Aleph. Any questions? Any clarifications? Any questions?
Why is that considered background?
Dov is asking, why is that considered the background in our situation? So again, in our situation, we're not writing Zions. I have two Zions, which are the legs of the Ches, and there's a bridge on top connecting the two Zions. That's what a Ches is in the Torah. Two Zions.
But right now it's a letter. This letter is an actual letter.
So again,
in other cases with the engraving.
Oh, okay. So, okay, good. Dov just said over the answer of the Rashba, so I'm not going to repeat what Dov just said because we're going to get there in a minute. Very good, excellent. Any questions on Zoom, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, maybe this was Dov was alluding to, but couldn't you basically distinguish between an act which is done to the writing material versus something which is done to the letter itself?
Okay, good. So Daniel also just said over the Rashba in different terms. So I'm going to say it over. It's Yibarachshek Kivantem to each other. Okay, fine. Good. It's going to be a little bit of a different nusach, but it's the same methodology. Okay, so we're going to have two basic approaches in the Rishonim for how to deal with this question. The first approach will be the approach of the Rashba, and the second approach will be the approach of the Ran and the Ritva. Two approaches how to deal with this issue. So let's start with approach number one. The Rashba says like this. He says that we must conclude, Mikan Shamanu, from here we must deduce that the case in our Gemara is not considered to be an act of writing the Ruchak Tochos. You're right. We have a rule in Gittin that you have to write in a certain specific format. If you write in a manner that's considered to be indirect, where you're not operating on the letter itself, that's called Chak Tochos, and it's not a legal form of writing. And if our Gemara and Shabbos is now telling us that when you remove the bridge of the Ches, you turn it into Zions, that's going to be Chayiv on Shabbos, then this must not be Chak Tochos. Mikan Shamanu, says the Rashba, that this is not considered to be Chak Tochos, because otherwise our Gemara makes no sense. Why is this not considered to be a case of Chak Tochos with a Ches and the two Zions with a Dalet and the Reish? So the Rashba says something that's a little bit cryptic. So I'm going to say the words of the Rashba, and we're going to then take a step back and try to understand what he was saying. And ultimately, it's going to be what Daniel and Dov had said. But let's just develop it out together. So the words of the Rashba are as follows. He says that the reason this doesn't suffer from Chak Tochos is because all you're doing is separating out two letters that became connected. I have two Zions, and they're just connected with the bridge on top. When I erase that bridge, I'm separating out two letters that were connected. And so that doesn't suffer from Chak Tochos. And similarly, says the Rashba, in the second case of the Gemara with the Dalet, where you erase the upper right portion of the Dalet and you convert it into a Reish. So here too, says the Rashba, that a Dalet is really like a Reish with some extra ink on top. When I erase that upper right portion of the Dalet, I'm just clearing up my Reish. I'm erasing this extra ink that spilled on my Reish. And so that also doesn't suffer from Chak Tochos. So those are the words of the Rashba for why this doesn't suffer from Chak Tochos, that you're separating out two letters that were connected. I'm erasing some extra ink that spilled on my Reish. And so that doesn't suffer from Chak Tochos. So those are the words of the Rashba, which is very much in line with Daniel and Dover pointing out. The question becomes how to just crunch what exactly is the Rashba saying? What's the principle? Why exactly is Chak Tochos not applying in this situation? So Reparnas pointed out that if you think it through carefully, you'll see that the Rashba is really saying two chidushim. There are two major chidushim that the Rashba is saying that have very broad repercussions in many areas of halacha. And it's these two chidushim that are coming together in combination to answer up the question on this piece of Gemara. So let's go through the two chidushim of the Rashba. The first chidush of the Rashba is going to come down to a very fundamental chakira, which is Nogeya to Hilchas Ksivas Stam, concerning the definition of an oath in halacha, the legal definition of a letter, a halachic letter in halacha. The question becomes like this. Obviously, if you write a nice crisp letter, a clear-cut crisp letter, so that has the status of an oath. The question becomes, and this is very much Nogeya L'maisa with Sofrim, is what if you have a letter that has the basic form of a letter, but there are some distortions? It has the basic tzura of an oath, but there's some extra ink that's distorting the appearance of the letter. What would be an example of a distorted oath? So we can talk about the letter Ches. When you have a letter Ches, so the two legs have the form of a Zion, but it's not a crisp, clear-cut Zion because there's a bridge on top connecting them to each other. There's a little bit too much ink for these Zions to be independent, full-fledged Zions. So they have the form of a Zion, but they're distorted. The question becomes, Yesh Lachbor, how do you classify the two legs of a ches in halacha? How do we look at a distorted oath in halacha? So before the Rashba, you could simply understand that a distorted oath is a nothing. It's either all or nothing. If you make a nice, crisp, independent letter, that's called a letter. If you write a distorted letter, that's a zero. The two legs of a ches, it's very nice that it looks like a zayin, but it's not going to have the status of a zayin. Halachically, it's a big splotch of ink. You have a big splotch of ink that forms a ches. It's two legs look like a zayin, but there's a little bit too much ink to call them zayins. It's called a ches. That's what a ches is in halacha. You could understand that a distorted letter, it looks like a zayin, has the basic shape. It's unfortunately is a little bit too much ink. It has a status of a zero. It's one big splotch of ink that composes the ches. That's what we would have said, perhaps, before the Rashba. Comes along the Rashba, Rashba's being mechadish, and this is what Daniel and Dov are really saying, ba'amkus, that there's a different vision of a ches in halacha. Halachically speaking, a ches is composed of two quasi-zions and a bridge on top. The legs of a ches have the status of a zion in halacha. Halachically speaking, the legs have the status of quasi-zion. It's not a full-fledged zion. There's a little too much ink to be a full-fledged zion. But since they have the form of a zion, they have a din of a zion. They have the status of a zion with an extra bridge on top. And the same thing with a dalet and a resh. When you have a dalet in halacha, according to the Rashba, a dalet is composed of a resh with some extra ink at the top right corner. Halachically speaking, since when we see a dalet, inside the dalet is the basic form of a resh, it has a status of a quasi-resh in halacha. It's a something. Ariel, I'll come to you in a second. In the dalet, there's a something. There's just some extra ink. So it's called a resh with some extra ink. So that's the first chiddush of the Rashba. Chiddush number one of the Rashba is that there's a concept of a quasi-os in halacha. It's not all or nothing. You don't have to write an independent zion to have the status of a zion. If it has the basic form of a zion, just there's some extra ink, it's called a quasi-zion. It's a something. It's not a zero. A ches is two zions and a bridge on top. A dalet is made up of a resh with some extra ink. That's the first chiddush of the Rashba, which, as I say, has major repercussions for Hilchos Stam. Just to stop for a quick question, Aryeh has a question.
Yes. So shouldn't you be chayav deraisa for writing a ches because it's two osios?
So Aryeh is asking that every time you write a ches, you're now writing two zines. We just did too good of a job. If a ches is made up of two zines with a bridge on top, so every time I write the letter ches, I've now written shtei osios, and now I should be chayav. That's Aryeh's question. So that's an excellent question. That's why I was very careful. I called it a quasi-zion. I distorted os. I'm calling it a quasi-zion. It's a something. This is a partner, so it's not me speaking. But we're calling it a quasi-zion. You're right. It's not a full-fledged zion because of the fact that they're connected to each other. So the ches is composed of two quasi-zions with a bridge on top. What we're saying is we're making a new category, a gray category. It's not a zero. Not a full-fledged zion, it's a quasi-zion. It's going to have a status of being a distorted os. So we just have to make a new category in halacha called the distorted os. It's not a zero, not a full-fledged os, it's a something, and we're gonna build off of this. But that's a very important question, which is exactly why we're calling it a distorted os, not a full-fledged os. Penny.
So they're looking first, the bridge of the zion is first.
Because the Penny is asking does it matter, based on this, how you write the chesh, you write the zion first and then the bridge, or the bridge and then the two zions. So that's really the question we have to consider after the whole sugya is done. We're not going to be able to go into all the stam implications of tonight's sugya, but as you're going to see, tonight's sugya is very much going to impact on Hilchos Stam. Dov, last question.
According to Exendo, if you actually wrote two zines first, then the bridge, then you'd be over on Shabbos.
So Dov is asking, what if you wrote the two zines and then the bridge when you're writing the ches? So would you be over on Shabbos? So it gets complicated because of the issues of kavana. My kavana was to make a ches. I bet I didn't act of writing two zines. So that has to be figured out, but it's a good question. So yeah, in other words, what everyone's asking and starting from Aryeh's questions, we just opened up a whole Pandora's box, which has major repercussions from Hilchos Stam, Hilchos Tefillin, Tzeirah Torah, and Hilchos Shabbos, which is we just quote made a chakira, is a ches, two zines with a bridge on top, or two big splotches of ink with a bridge on top. So we just said in the Rashba that the two zines with the bridge on top. So we're all just appreciating now like the major implications of what we just did. So excellent. These are all good points. But we just don't have enough time to go into it. Fine. Okay. Chiddush number two of the Rashba, Parnas pointed out, just to finish off the Shitas Rashba, is as follows. Rashba's second Chiddush is now going to be a limitation to the psul of Chaktokos. The Rashba is going to hold that Chaktokos is only a problem when you create the entire letter from scratch. What was the original case of Chaktokos? I have a blank piece of metal. And I have a blank piece of metal, and I create the letter by pushing around the letter and inside the letter such that the background is depressed and the letter appears as if it's protruding in relief. That was the original case of Choktopos, and that's certainly a case that's going to be possible. Now, in that situation, the entire letter was created from scratch. Before I pressed down, I had a blank piece of metal. After I pressed down, the entire letter was created from scratch. And that's going to be a problem of Choktovos. On the other hand, if the Rashi is going to be a Mechadish, the second Chiddush is that when you have a distorted Oath, you have a quasi-Oath that's basically a letter with some distortions, and you remove those distortions, that's not going to be subject to Choktovos. You have a basic Zion, you have a basic Resh, there's some extra ink, and you erase the ink around the Zion, around the Ches, to finish off the Oath, although you're technically not forming the Zion itself, although you're technically operating externally to the Zion, that's going to still be a valid form of ksiva. Choktovos is only a problem when you form the letter itself from scratch through indirection, but if the letter itself is basically there, just there's some extra ink that you're erasing around it to fix up some distortions, that's not going to be subject to choktovos. That is going to be chiddush number two. So just to take a step back now, the Rashba is saying two different chiddushim. Chiddush number one of the Rashba, just again, the question was, why is it not choktovos when I erase the gag of the ches and turn it into two zions? Aren't I not forming the zions themselves? Isn't this operating outside of the zions? Why is this called writing in halacha? So chiddush number one of the Rashba is that there's a concept of a quasi-oath. So you have the basic form of a letter with some extra ink. That is a status of a letter in halacha, in kol tera kula. And so a ches is two zions, two quasi-zions with a bridge on top. And a dalet is a resh, a quasi-resh with some extra ink on top. That is chiddush number one of the Rashba. Chiddush number two of the Rashba is that choktovos is only a problem when you make the entire letter from scratch. But if the basic letter is there, just there's some distortions, you have a quasi-os, and you fix it up, that's not subject to the psul of choktovos. So just to plug it in, when I remove the gag of the ches and turn it into two zines, since chiddush number one, the ches is already composed of two zines and a bridge on top. And since chiddush two, all I'm doing is just fixing up these quasi-zines, that's not subject to the psul of choktovos. So that is the first approach of the Rashba based on these two major chidushim. He's mechadish that our case in our Gemara is not a case of choktovos. It's a legal act of ksiva, and that's why you're chayiv on Shabbos. Okay, any questions? Yeah, Yonah.
Could you also say it has something to do with the fact, like the ink versus an extrusion or meaning
versus engraving, you mean?
Or versus engraving, or like with things you're actually dealing with a fine form of writing. You're dealing with.
Okay, so Yonah is asking if there are distinctions between whether you're writing with ink versus engraving. That's an interesting question. I'm just not aware of any distinctions, but it could be there are. It's an observational filic. Any other questions? Sim, Daniel?
Yeah, just two questions. One is, can this work in the other way? Let's say I, through relief, create the gag of the ches onto two zions. Would that not be choktovos in the end?
Sorry, give me the exact case.
We're talking about a case where through some minor action, I remove this distortion, right? If through some minor action, I create this distortion?
Would that be called mochek on Shabbos? Is that what you're asking?
Let's say I have two zions and I on a piece of metal and I engrave in through choktovos the distortion. Would that, the gag of the ches?
The zions are pressed in or they're
The zions have already been pressed out before Shabbos, but now I on Shabbos I push out the little piece of metal to create the gag.
On Shabbos?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I'm not sure off the cuff. Very sophisticated case. It's gonna take some time to analyze that.
Okay. Now I'm forgetting my second question. Okay.
That was the goal. Yeah. I was trying to stall a little bit. Okay, it worked.
No problem.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. Forgot a second question. That's fine. Okay. Approach number two. No, it was good though. That an interesting question. Okay. Okay. Approach number two is the approach of the Ran and the Ritva. The Ran and the Ritva argue head on with the Rashba. They say that really the case in our Gemara with the Ches, where you remove the bridge of the Ches and you make two zines, is a genuine classic case of choktovos. Just like the case in Gittin with engraving, that was a classic case of choktovos. Our Gemara is a classic case of choktovos. You're writing through indirection. Why is this a classic case of choktovos? So the Ritva explicitly argues on the first Chiddush, the Rashba. Rashba's first Chiddush was that there's a concept of a quasi-os, that a Ches is made up of two zines with a bridge on top. Says the Ritva, nothing doing. A ches is made up of two splotches of ink with a bridge on top. There's a big splotch of ink that's in the shape of a ches. There's no concept of two zions and a bridge on top. A ches is one big splotch of ink. There's no concept of a distorted ot. When I remove the bridge of the ches, says the Ritva, panim chadashos ba'olakan. You created two brand new zayins from scratch. Before you remove the bridge of the ches, we didn't see two zayins. A ches is just a big ches. There's no zayin in the ches. It looks like a zayin. It doesn't have a status of a zayin, though. When I remove the bridge of the ches, I created two zayins from scratch. And so this is a classic case of chag tovos. So that is the starting point of these Rishonim. They're arguing head-on with the Rashba. The case in our Gemara is a classic example of chag tovos. You're not forming the letter itself. You're operating external to the letter. Fine. So then how do they answer the question in our Gemara? So why are you chayiv on Shabbos? Why am I violating Melechus Kosev if I'm not forming the letter itself? I'm operating external to the letter and causing it through indirection. Why am I chayiv on Shabbos? So the Ran and the Ritva say the following chiddush. They say that it's true that in other areas of halacha, there's a need for a legal act of writing, or what we can call a maisa ksiva. You need to do a maisa ksiva, a legal act of writing, in other areas of halacha. But when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, when it comes to Melachas ksiva, you don't need to do a legal act of writing. You're right. This is a case of chag tovos. Chag tovos is chayiv on Shabbos. When you write on Shabbos in a manner of chag tovos, although this is not a legal act of writing, it's not a maisa ksiva, it doesn't matter. It still violates Melachas ksiva. In other words, Melachas ksiva doesn't need a maisa ksiva. Melachas ksiva just needs any formation of letters. Anytime you form letters on Shabbos, that's going to violate Melachas ksiva, even if it's not a legal act of writing. That's the basic kiddush of these Rishonim, that this is a case of chag tovos, but chag tovos is chayav on Shabbos, right? It's not called the legal writing in other areas of halacha. Shabbos is different. It's still chayav on Shabbos. What's the basis for distinction? What right do we have to distinguish Shabbos from other areas in halacha? Why should Shabbos have different regulations? So the Ran explains as follows. He says that this is based on the principle of Melachas Machshavos. Melachas Machshavos teaches us that the focus of the Isra Malacha is about productivity. We care about doing productive action. That's the yesod of the Isra Malacha. That's the principle of Melachas Machshavos. Says the Ran, that's what's going to distinguish between the Hilchas Shabbos on the one hand in contrast to the other areas in Halacha. When it comes to other areas in Halacha, so you're right, there's a concept of a Maisa Ksiva, a legal act of writing, that there's a certain format how you have to write to be deemed doing a legal act of writing. When it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, Melachas Machshavos teaches us that we don't care about the format per se. We don't care about the exact activity. We're more result-oriented. We care more about the product. As long as you've produced something significant, you produce something productive, so that's going to be subject to Hilchas Shabbos. That's the yesod of Melachas Machshavos. We're focused on productivity. We don't care about the exact format. So that's the basic approach now of these Rishonim here in approach number two. They're telling us that in our Gemara, this is a classic case of chag tovos. When you remove the ches, you turn it into zayins. You're creating two zayins from scratch. This is classic chag tovos. But chag tovos is chayiv. What's the basis for distinction based on melachas machshavos? Now, just to point something out, which might be Dov's question, I'll try to mechav it again. This is one of the famous points in the sugya, is the following observation. That there's a very famous observation that's pointed out in this exact last point of the Ran as follows. Typically, when it comes to the principle of Melachas Machshavos, so Melachas Machshavos usually produces kulas in Hilchas Shabbos. Usually, we find that in many areas of Hilchas Shabbos, we're more mikul because of the principle of Melachas Machshavos. Just for example, so we know that there's a principle of mikalkel. If you do a malacha, you fulfilled all the tanoim of the malacha. You just did it in a destructive manner. So that's not going to be chayiv on Shabbos. You're not going to be chayiv de'araisa. Why are you not chayiv for destructive activity? Melachas Machshavos teaches us you have to do it in a specific way. If it's not done in a productive manner, you're going to be putter on Shabbos or meiko. Or another example of Melachas Machshavos would be the principle of Melacha she'in etzricha legufa. We're going to see in Mitzvah Shem in the summer, hopefully, that there's a rule, according to Rabbi Shimon, that in order to be chayiv on Shabbos, you have to do a malacha for a specific purpose, that not any stam act of malacha is going to be chayiv. It always has to be done for a specific purpose to be chayiv. That's the principle of malacha shein etzricha legufa. Where's this malacha coming from? Once again, malachas machshavos. Malachas machshavos teaches us that there's a specific way you have to do malachas to be chayiv. If you don't do them in the correct manner, you're not going to be chayiv on Shabbos. So the most classic examples of malachas mashavas usually produce kulas in Hilchos Shabbos, where we're very strict in how you have to do a malacha to be chayav. The Ran in our sugya is one of the rare instances where we find the exact opposite, that malachas mashavas produces a chumra in Hilchos Shabbos, that in other areas of halacha, there's a concept of a rigid format, how you have to write to be doing a legal act of writing. Maisa Ksiva has certain regulations. And the Ran is actually telling us that based on malachas mashavas, we're loosening the regulation for Hilchos Shabbos. By Hilchos Shabbos, you don't need the specific format of Ksiva in order to be chayiv. We're more result-oriented. As long as you're resulting in a productive formation of letters, you're going to be chayiv. So this is just one of the classic points that is emphasized in this Ran. We have an interesting instance where malachas mashavas is producing a chumra in Hilchos Shabbos in contrast to other areas of halacha. You're more likely to be chayiv because of malachas mashavas, we're loosening the regulations to violate Hilchos Shabbos. So that's just the last point in the Shita of the Ran. So with that, we'll come to the basic facts here. You can still get a special stop for questions for a second, and we'll continue. Ben.
Hello, Craig.
Oh, or Scott.
Does Penny want to go first?
Let's go for it. Go for Scott.
Okay. Usually, malachas mashavas also means you have to do a maisa. I mean, and it comes up with the, I don't know if you're holding the BCI technology where you use your mind to do malacha. That Rav Schechter and Rav Kirshenbaum also I've discussed with Rav Kirshenbaum. You have to do a maisa in order to be chayiv. There has to be a maisa going on. So if the way that you're explaining the Ran is there's no maisa. So if there's no maisa, then there's no malacha mashavas because there's no malacha.
Okay. Excellent. So Scott is pointing out, based on interesting current technology, that there's the. It's another way of expressing that this phenomenon we're seeing that usually malacha mashavas focuses on having a specific type of activity. We're very matzvah on doing a specific maisa, a specific activity in order to be chayiv, which he's pointing out based on some technology that if you use your mind to cause a car to drive, so maybe that'll be mutter in Shabbos. Okay, we'll have to figure that out, I guess, once this becomes widespread. But right now, I don't think anyone can afford that anyways. But just to emphasize Scott's point, so he's pointing out that we're seeing a little bit of a very interesting phenomenon that, we're saying now that the Ran is going result-oriented, that as long as you result in letters, that's going to be sufficient. Yet at the same time, we're seeing in other areas, usually Lech Mashavis is Maisa oriented. It's saying that there's a specific Maisa you have to do. So the truth of the matter is that Scott's question is really, really also opens up a huge sugya, which is the exact repercussions of Lech Mashavis. Is the Isra Malacha and Shabbos, is it Maisa and Totsa oriented? Do you need a specific Maisa and a specific result? Is it result oriented only? So in other words, 100%, maybe you need both, or maybe you need one, not the other. Maybe the Ran's going to allow you to drive that car on Shabbos. So we can't answer that off the cuff, but that's exactly the pressure point that comes out of this Kiddush in the Ran. So it's a very mamish and excellent point. Dov.
Didn't we say previously regarding pictures of the letters where you double the background as opposed to the picture itself, that when we weren't opening, so to
say? So Dov is bringing up the issue. We saw that putting something onto a backdrop is going to violate Malachas Kosev. We saw that if you take letters and you put it onto a backdrop, there was a machlokas where that violates Malachas Kosev. But there you're operating directly. I'm taking letters and putting them onto a backdrop. So we'll have to hack that out. Mitzvah Shem over Zingers. Ben, you had a question?
Yes. So in Malachas Machshavas, though, we are concerned about the process. That's the whole Torah of Kalacha Yad.
And Mamish knew you were going to ask that. This is, again, this is Scott's question. Scott Kedarko Bakodish, 100%. So this is, in Mirza Shem, hopefully in the summer, we'll have to get into an analysis of the exact repercussions of Malachas Mashavas. Once again, the Ran is pointing out here, we're seeing that there's not a rigid format to Ksiva. We're going more result-oriented. So again, Ben's pointing out that we find that if you do a Kalach Riyad, you do Malach in an awkward manner, so that's going to be Pater. Again, Malachas Mashavas, because it's a specific format to how you have to do malacha. Now, the truth of the matter is that Kalach Riyad is not pashut, it's rooted in malachas machshavas. That's actually a shaila in the Achronim. So that's, as I say, all these issues have to be discussed. The Shalom Kederach Lamashal is a p'tur in other areas of malacha as well, not necessarily only by Hilchos Shabbos. So Emir Tzishon will have to do an analysis of that, hopefully in August. Let's continue. We'll do one nafkamina just to finish up. So just to summarize, tonight we were, and we'll do one nafkamina and then we'll end. The question on the Gemara was the issue of if you, the din was if you remove the gag of the ches and produce two zayins, you remove some of the ink from the dalet and make a reish to chayiv on Shabbos. And the question was, isn't this chok tochlis, you're operating indirectly? You have two approaches in the Rishonim. The first approach of the Rashba was that you're right that this is a, we must conclude that this is not chok tochlis. This is based on the two chedushim of the Rashba, which I'm not going to spell out again. This is not going to be a case of chok tochlis, and that's why you're chayiv. That was the shita of the Rashba. Whereas the Ran was holding that this is a genuine case of chok tochlis. You're right, this is chok tochlis. When you remove the ches, the gag, you make two zayins, you're making two zayins from scratch. But chok tochlis is chayiv because Malachas Machsheves teaches us that at least in this instance, we don't care about the specific format of ksiva. As long as you have a productive product, that's sufficient. Now, just to quickly end, I apologize, Ben, just we have 3 minutes left. So I just want to finish off with one nafkamina. And then emerges from next week, we're going to start Mochik officially next week. And we're going to see how tonight's sugya is going to lead into Malachas Mochik. But just to finish off tonight, just to give one nafkamina to appreciate the difference between the Rashba versus the Ran. The Ritva points out the following nafkamina in terms of Hilchas Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's why I pointed out that tonight's sugya very much is relevant to Hilchas Ksiva Stam, being a sofer. So the Ritva brings up the following issue. Let's take the case in our Gemara. Let's take the case where you have a ches and you turn it into two zayins, but let's take it out of Hilchas Shabbos and put it into Hilchas Sefer Torah. Let's say a sofer is writing a Sefer Torah and he needs two zayins, but by accident he writes a ches. So he now has an issue. He needs to figure out how to fix that ches and make it into two zayins. So the question the Ritva raises is, could the sofer salvage the letter, Akasha the Sefer Torah, by just removing the gag of the ches and turning it into two zayins? That's the issue that the Ritva raises. So the Ritva points out that this is going to be an afkamina between the Rashba versus himself and the Ran. So just to plug it in, starting with the shita of the Rashba shita was that in our case, in our Gemara, when you remove the roof of the ches and make two zayins, this is not chok tochlis. The Rashba had said, it better not be chok tochlis, otherwise you would not be chayiv on Shabbos. And so based on his two chidushim, he was able to show how this is not subject to the psul of chok tochlis. Well, if this is not subject to chok tochlis on Shabbos, and it's a full-fledged legal act of writing, then in other areas of halacha as well, it'll be a full-fledged legal act of writing, and it's going to be a perfectly fine way of rectifying your Sefer Torah. And so according to the Rashba, the sofer could just remove the top of the ches to fix up the Sefer Torah. It's a perfectly fine way of producing designs. The sofer should not do that on Shabbos, or he'll violate Hilchas Shabbos. But if he, not during the weekday, that would be a perfectly fine way of kashering the Sefer Torah. On the other hand, moving over to the shita of the Ritva, so the Ritva spells out what was their shita, that why you chayiv in our Gemara when you remove the roof of the ches and make two zayins? They had said that it is a case of chok tochlis. It's not a legal act of writing. It just happens to be that chok tochlis is chayiv on Shabbos. That was the chiddush of these Rishonim. But it's not a legal act of writing. If this is not a legal act of writing, then in other areas of halacha where you do need a legal act of writing, when we don't have malachas makshavas, it's not going to be effective. And so when it comes to Hilchas Sefer Torah, so Tosis in Sanhedrin on Chof Aleph and Beis spells out that Sefer Torah is subject to the psul of chok tochlis. The sofer could not write a Torah in a manner that would be subject to chok tochlis. And so according to the Ritva, this would be pasul. If the sofer wants to fix up the Torah by removing the roof of the ches and making two zayins, that would not be an effective way of kashering the Sefer Torah because this is writing through chok tochlis. And we have the paskin like the Ritva and the Ran, so the sofer would not be able to kasher the Torah in that scenario. So thank you very much for joining us. And Mitzvah Hashem, next week we're going to start Malachas Mochik from scratch, and we're going to see how tonight's sugya is going to transition into Malachas Mochik. So have a wonderful, Daniel, I don't mind staying for you, but let me just say goodbye to the Chevra. So we'll talk after Mar. We should talk after Mar. I just want to take the Zoom questions. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, I just, something I just need to clarify. According to the Rashba, do the two Chidushim, are they related to one another? Do you need both of them to answer the question?
The two Chidushim of the Rashba are necessary. They're not technically related, meaning one Chidush is just a Chakir and letter Ches. It's a Ches made up of two Zions and a bridge on top. Or is a ches just one big splotch of ink, you know, with two legs and a roof on top? No, so that's one chiddush.
Yeah, you don't need that per se to answer the stira.
Well, you need that in the sense that if you call a ches a big splotch of ink and it's not two zines, the bridge on top, then when I remove the bridge, I'm making two zayins from scratch. If you don't take the first chiddush of the Rashba, then when I remove the bridge of the ches, I'm making two zayins from scratch, and it should be a classic case of plaktokos. I made a zayin 5 seconds ago, there was no zayin. Now there is a zayin, so I just created a zayin from scratch.
Rather, and then unless I misunderstood the second chiddush, wasn't the whole point there's like a basically a difference in degrees of indirect writing, right? But
the second chiddush is saying that once you accept the fact that there's a somewhat of a letter here, then we're going to be mechadish that fixing up a quasi letter isn't chaktokos. Chaktokos is making it from scratch, like by the chakika case. But if there's a basic letter just with some distortions and you fix it up, that's not chaktokos. So the second chiddush needs the first chiddush, but you know, it's technically a separate chiddush, but you first have to say that there is a letter here, there's a zayin in the ches, just this distorted. And then you could then further be mechadish that fixing up those distortions is not chaktokos.
Because what I thought Dov was saying, and what I thought, you know, what I was trying to say as well, is the two gemaras are differences in degree, right? One cannot call ksiva through this indirect process of hammering out the backside of something. That's not writing, or that's not writing in a legal sense. But to edit is still within the confines of writing, by dint of the fact that letters are formed in this normative manner.
Rabbi emphasized that exact point. Parnas emphasized that exact point in this sugi that we're seeing a chiddush here in the Rashba. There's a concept of editing. Editing is called ksiva in halacha, 100%. Absolutely.
Right. So that's what I thought you were trying to say with regards to the second chiddush of the Rashba. But it sounds like you're saying instead that it's only because there are already pre-existing letters. So within the framework of that technicality to fix it up is not doing anything different.
Okay, so these are two ways of expressing the same idea. Rebbe actually said it both ways. On the one hand, he phrased it like you said it, that the second chiddush is just that it's called editing. Editing is called writing. Just another way of expressing it is just, I was trying to not be so, you know, complicated. Just I'm just calling it fixing up distortions is not called chaktokos. It's the same idea, just different ways of saying it. You're right, it's editing. When you have a letter and you're editing it, that's also called writing, 100%. It's the same thing. Okay. Thank you very much. It really raises the level of the chaburish tremendously. Thank you, Rabbi.
Glad to be back.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Thank you for staying. Thank you.
Thanks.